We shall be singing the chorus of "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free." Sing.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free.
You know, I was truly blessed by the way our gathering today had started, and it was all truly ushered the blessing of God through our choir. Choir, thank you so much, really, from the bottom of my heart. You have ushered our gathering today wonderfully. And you know, had they sang just before the sermon, I would have given you only 10 minutes. But since it had taken a few minutes and you may have forgotten the songs, then we go back to half an hour or so. Anyhow, thanks, you know, thanks be to God, and the celebration of Thanksgiving is great. I hope you are ready for it. We know that this particular activity is celebrated in Canada, at least in many different ways and perspectives. And some of you may have put out a nice size of turkey, and by the time you get home, it will be ready. You like turkey? Okay. But you know what? Thanksgiving is beyond turkey. Whether we have turkey or not, Thanksgiving is there. Yes? Amen. That's it. Now, let's go back to our text. Don't worry, we'll eat later. Psalm 113. Okay? And let's commit our time to the Lord. Father, thank you for bringing to our attention this wonderful portion of Scripture, Psalm 113, which tell us the great exhortation, and that is to thank God continuously. And so as your people come together and ask for your blessing, that you may teach us the very essence of this portion of Scripture, that we may give you back the glory and the honor that you deserve, and that we become not only more thankful, but obedient to your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You see, this particular portion of Scripture or Psalm is part of the Hallel. Not the Halal, but the Hallel, which means basically praise. And that is the theme of the book of Psalms. The Hallel is composed of 6 songs, beginning at Psalm 113 all the way to Psalm 118. And it is a collection of praise songs, which are traditionally used by the chosen people of God, especially in the Old Testament, and that they would sing before the eating of the Passover meal, Psalms 113 and 14. And as they close this wonderful celebration, the Passover feast, they would sing Psalm 115 all the way to Psalm 118. In the beginning of that particular Hallel is Psalm 114, which directly speaks and depicts about the Exodus story, the great escape, the great redemption that has taken place from Egypt going down to the Promised Land. And by looking at our text, it could easily be divided in at least into 2. Verses 1 to 3, as it is given in your bulletin.
the call to praise God. And there is always the call to praise God. It says, praise the Lord, praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from the time forth and forever. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Looking at these passages of scriptures, it shows us exhortation as to who should we be praising, how should we praise God, how often should we praise God, when and the where to praise God, which is very similar. If you're going to compare Psalm 150 and Psalm 113, there's a great similarities. Not the same, but great similarities. And the song begins with a resounding hallelujah, praise the Lord. The tempo is outbeat, in upbeat, you know, joyous. Because it is a joyous occasion. Say it with me. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You see, you look happy. Almost all of you. You know, even if you say the word thank you, you see, you smile first. And then at the very end, as a couple will say thank you. It really is. It's like showing you smile and there's a like a kiss mode, you know. Don't do this. If not your husband or wife, don't do we're going to be in trouble. You know, during my younger days at First Filipino, it's obvious that I'm old. We used to sing that song, I Want to Praise the Lord. You know, it's a very nice song. I want to praise the Lord. And you know, that song, it starts with these words, praise the Lord, four times. And then it would begin, I want to. And then at some point in time, it has that bridge. And it would go, birds in the sky, sing things. That's right. Thank you. And you know, if you're going, every time you sing that, it doesn't have an ending. For those of you who knows the song, it just continues on and continues on. And that is the essence of our text. It is a joyous occasion and it is a continuous expression of your thanksgiving to God. And that is it. That is it. And that is the implication, the very context. Praising God is a continuous event. You know, three times in our first three verses, you would see, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, when I was looking at this, and then there comes another song that comes to my mind, which is taken from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, when it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again we say, rejoice, and it doesn't end. It starts with rejoice and ends with rejoicing. That is it. That is thanksgiving. Now on verse 1, it continues on to say that, praise God to those who serve the Lord. O servants of the Lord, praise be to God. The only one that could truly give thanks to God are those who have personal relationship with Christ. Everybody can say thanksgiving to God, but they could never experience the true meaning of thanksgiving unless you have personal relationship with Christ. And at the same time, as it is in our text, to those who serve God, there is much thanksgiving to our God. And you know, in the Old Testament, as per our context, it tells us that it was expressed not only by individuals, not only by the chosen people of God, in Isaiah chapter 14, not only by those who have been redeemed. We see that throughout the book of Psalms. And then those who are priest. We see that time and time again, beginning at the book of Leviticus, especially. But during in our times, in the New Testament time, and I would like to invite everyone, would you please turn your Bibles to the book of Peter? Peter, chapter 2. The first book of Peter, chapter 2. Nice boys. Beginning at verse 9. What does it say? Believers have called this royal mandate. You are now a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Why? That you may declare praise. That's what the Word of God says. As such, our daily devotion is to be an offering of sacrifices of praise. The book of Hebrews says that. And then in the book of Thessalonians, it says that our lives is a collection of thanksgiving regardless of our circumstances. One of the blessings to those who have personal relationship with Christ is this. That in the midst of a terrible situation in life, there could be the joy that is coming from the Lord. That's why even in the midst of turmoil and uncertainties, there is that opportunity to thank God because of who He is and always will be. And truly, amen to that. And now in verse 2, it says, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever. That is why we are to thank God all the time. And it tells us the focus of our thanksgiving. It is obviously expressed in these verses alone, the repetitive mention of the word Lord. Three verses, the word Lord is spoken 5 times. In the entire chapter or this particular psalm, you would see that altogether, the word Lord 8 times, almost one in every verse. And it expresses importance. That's why when it means repetition, it is one of the essence of it is importance. Why? Because you see, this particular text is connected to that scenario when God is trying to have that wonderful ministry to Moses. When Moses was in the burning bush and had that wonderful experience with God, and he says, and he asked God, he says, Lord, what would I say to your people? Who are you? What is your name? And to that, God says, I am who I am. I am who I am. It is one way of saying, I am the everlasting God. I am the eternal God. I am the sovereign God. There was a portion in time when Jesus Christ was actually affirming this, the very context in John chapter 8. He said twice, God is who He is. And He referred to the I am who I am. Now on verse 3, it says, from the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Now what does this tell us? At least 2 things. It tells us the time. We are to thank God all the time. And where? Everywhere. But let us not focus on the place or the time. You know, there has to be a great focus on the who. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. We could be at the proper time and place, but we could miss the who. Like today. You could be here today, but are you really here today? You know, when this was written, the person who's writing, King David, was saying, the Lord is not only to be praised in the promised land, but in all nations. You know, there's a great rendition in Malachi chapter 1. Shall we go there? Malachi chapter 1. Let me read it before you. From the rising of the sun even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and every place incense is going to be offered to my name, and a great offering that is pure, for my name will be great among the nations. That tells us the entirety of the planet Earth. But you know, the writer of Psalm 150 had better idea. When he says on verse 1, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty firmaments. That is telling us we are to praise God all over the place, from where you are sitting down all the way to the great universe that he had created, the firmaments or the heavens. God is to be praised forever. Now, the second division on Psalm 113 is from verses 4 to 9. There is a reason why we praise God. It is the continuation of the previous verses. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who enthroned on high, who humbles himself, behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. You know, this passage of scripture tells us that God is to be praised not only for who he is, but also for what he is. Thank God for that song, "Because of Who You Are." Wonderful song. We praise God because God is great. The Lord is high above everything else, seen or unseen by our two wonderful eyes. In the book of Isaiah, can we turn our Bibles to the book of Isaiah? Chapter 40, verses 25 to 26 of Isaiah. It reads, "To whom then will you liken me, that I should be his equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. The one who leads forth their host by number, he calls them all by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing. How great is our God." That is another song. How great is our God. Wow. You know, you can never have enough song, because God is who he is. There is just one more song that you could sing, because God is great. The psalmist says that not only is the Lord high above all the nations, but also his glory is above all heavens. Which reminds me another song that we used to sing in our praise song. Remember the song, "Ah Lord God"? Ah, Lord God, heavens and earth, by thy great power. Well, nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing. There's just nothing too difficult for thee. That is taken from the book of Jeremiah, by the way. It is not only a nice song made by someone. It was from the very word of God. And to this apostle Paul echoed when he says in this wonderful text in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, God is able to do far more abundantly beyond you could ask or imagine, according to the power that he has, which at works
to all of us as God's people.
Praise God because God is great. Now, number two, praise God because God is gracious. We see that beginning from verse 6 all the way to verse 9. Who is like the Lord our God who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and on earth? Who is he that is mindful of me? Questioned by the writer of Psalm chapter 2. The greatest expression of humility and care was well captured and recorded none other than Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2. When he says, let this mind be in you, remember this, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, because he loves you and me. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross, a horrible kind of death. Why? Because he loves you. He humbled that much just to tell us, just to show us that he loves us. And that is unconditional. He didn't die because you are pretty or handsome. He didn't die because of what you can do, of what you have made for yourself. He died because of his love and his grace and his mercy. You can never take away one from those three words because they are interrelated. We are here today because of God's grace. Now, in the beginning portion of our text, it says that in verses 7 and 8, when it says, he raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with the princes of his people. He makes the barren woman abide in the house. What a joyful mother of children. You see, even in the book of 1 Samuel, when Hannah plead with God because she had no child, if you're going to compare verse 8 of 1 Samuel chapter 2, you will see the great similarity of our text on verses 7 and 8. Where Hannah's song extols the God and cast down her burden. She went to the God who could only open up the womb that can never bore a child. It is wonderful to note that even Mary in the great Magnificat in the book of Luke says this way, God has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humbled. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. God is gracious. He listens and answers to our prayers, to the needy, and most especially to the helpless. He is the helper of the helpless. He is the provider of the needy. But you know, behind these needs that are reasonable and important is the greatest need of man, and that is salvation. Would you open to Ephesians chapter 2? Ephesians chapter 2. I'll be reading verses 4 to 9. Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 9, or at least 4 to 7. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places where, in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us again in Christ Jesus. And to that we say amen. You see, God isn't just in the business of lifting us to those who are needy and providing offspring to those in His sovereign grace should get offspring. But behind that is the spiritual beggars that God provides salvation, as we sang, so rich and so free, and still is rich and free and will always will be. And not only that, because of the personal relationship that had taken place between the sinner and the holy God who had forgiven us, Romans chapter 8 tells us that we have now become sons of God. And not only that, co-heirs with Christ. It can't be any better than that. Amazing grace, isn't it? As we come to a close, I'd like to share with you three attitudes that could steal away your thanksgiving today or always in the future. Number one, thanksgiving is not for those who are proud. Because the proud will not say thanks to God. They will say, oh, thanks to me, I was good. If you have this kind of attitude, Thanksgiving Day is not for you today. You will miss the great blessing of Thanksgiving. That is not from me, but it's from the Bible. Number two, thanksgiving is not for those who have critical spirit, especially to those who complain a lot. Instead of being grateful, the blessing of God is covered by your whining. And then the last one would be, if you are careless with the blessings that comes along your way. Someone has said that if the star only comes out once in a year, or the sun will only come out once in a year, you will say, thank God it came out today. But because the sun is always there and the star are always there, we have a custom not to say, thank God there is a nice moon today. You know, time and time again, God proven to the people of God, especially in the Old Testament, when they came out in the very same context, from the bondage of Egypt, and they have now been traveling towards the promised land, and there was no food to eat. And God gave manna. And God gave quail. And it's only a time when they say, I don't like the wafer anymore. I had enough chicken. Is there any beef? They started to grumble. You know, you and I can laugh at it all the time. But instead of looking to these people, let's look at ourselves. I believe you and I are guilty. The degree of guilt maybe may vary, but to a certain degree, yes, you are, and I. Brethren and friends, let's celebrate Thanksgiving because of who God is and what He is. And you know what? Thanksgiving is a daily event. It's not only happening on the second Sunday of October. It's not once a year. Shall we all rise, brethren? We'll be singing number 11 in our hymn book. Number 11 in our hymn book. Our choir director will help us. Number 11 in our hymn book. And after which, we'll have the benediction.
Together, ready, sing.
How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you proved your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope.
the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. For the things He has done. With His blood He has saved me. With His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done. My life, and let You please sing, Lord, to me. And should I gain any praise, let the glory be His blood He has raised me. With His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done.
Praise God for the things He has done. Praise God for the things He is doing. And praise God for the things He will do. And God's people say, Amen and Amen.